try to kill us, but my village too strong. Long live the people. Here we go again with the bullshit you want. Long live the people.
We have all these mixed blood people over across the country. We cannot exclude them.
There's nothing wrong with being Red River Métis.
We are all Métis.
There was an attempt to define Métis. And we said no.
There's Métis from Red River. What's wrong with Métis from someplace else? And they were also Métis people.
Uniting our people is at a very sad state.
We are all Métis.
Welcome to the Jig Is Up. We are doing a special episode tonight because we were able to get a phone conversation in with the woman who took the video up at the Conklin camp of the fish being confiscated, and her name is Roxanne Powder. And without that video, none of this really probably would not even have come to light, so we were really lucky to get her on. And we had about a 15-20 minute conversation with her, so we wanted to get that up for you guys right away so that it's fresh and you guys get kind of the first-hand knowledge or story of what happened. And then after that, I'll update you guys on the meeting that we went to at the end of the show, and it'll all make sense by the end of the show what I'm talking about. So yes, here's a special episode for you, and I hope you guys enjoy the interview and the conversation with Roxanne Powder.
Try to kill us, but my village too strong.
Hello everyone, welcome to this edition of The Jig Is Up, and joining me today, as always, is the Professor Jason. Hey Jason.
How's it going this evening, Darcy?
Not too bad. And joining both of us tonight on kind of a special edition here is Roxanne Powder, and she is from the Conklin area community, and she has would like to share her take on what happened the other day when the Alberta Fish and Wildlife came in and stole their fish out of their camp. So welcome to the show, Roxanne.
Thank you, Darcy and Jason.
And just tell
us.
Good
to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show. And maybe just tell us, what leading up to when Fish and Wildlife showed up, what was happening, and then just kind of walk us through what I guess your experience was of being at the camp.
The incident happened on Friday night at the Conklin Métis Culture Camp. It's about 150 kilometers from Fort McMurray, south of Fort McMurray. The camp started on Thursday, which was the day the fish was being prepared by one of our community members to get ready to smoke the fish. I wasn't there for that part of it. I ended up getting to the camp on Friday. When I had arrived at the camp, Fish and Wildlife was already there, and they were already asking questions about the fish that was on the racks being smoked. The Fish and Wildlife investigator had an anonymous tip that there was an illegal net, and that's how the fish was caught, apparently. But at the camp, it's about 10 kilometers to the nearest to our lake. So, it wasn't at the lake. They were asking questions about fishing license. And two of our members had admitted to having, bringing the fish to the camp, I guess. We were all sitting around the campfire, around the rack. And they were talking about the Fish and Wildlife had wanted to see fishing license, but they weren't produced. So they took the Fish and Wildlife had went off and talked privately together. And then when they came back, we asked for our two elders to go and talk to them privately. And so they took them aside and talked to them privately, and I'm not sure how that conversation went, but when they came back, our elder Ernie Desjardins had said that they were going to be taking our fish, and we all gathered in a circle around the rack and held hands in protest. for them not to take it. But the conversation with our elder Ernie and the Fish and Wildlife, I believe he might have been told that if we didn't cooperate, that they would have taken his truck and his cell phone from him. So that's why he was cooperative, and that's what it shows in the video. And yeah, we were all upset. It's like you could see in the video, we were all yelling, telling them, like, you know, we're Métis people in First Nations. The kids were saying not to take the fish. The elders had to sit and watch. And yeah, it was very upsetting to have to go through that as a community. After the fish was put in the bag, the Fish and Wildlife walked away where they're walking to their truck, and the video had stopped, but all the community members still followed them and pleaded to give the fish back and asked what they were going to be doing with it. The kids were begging them to return the fish. So yeah, it was very upsetting. It ruined the mood in the camp. Yeah, I could say that our camp wasn't the same.
So to the best of your knowledge, was the fish caught at the camp, or was it caught before the camp started?
It was caught before the camp was started, and it was brought to the camp.
So no one even at the camp was fishing?
No.
Oh. And so did they net the fish before you guys got to the camp, or was the net ever even used?
That I don't even know. I can't even speculate on that. I have no idea how it was even caught.
Was there any follow-up? Have you heard what did they do with the fish after?
That there is no follow-up. I have no idea what they have done with the fish.
And from what I understand is there's still two of your members that have tickets outstanding for illegal fishing. Is that going to be going to court? Are those tickets going to be reviewed? Or is it just, according to Fish and Wildlife, they were ticketed and that's that?
The tickets still stand. So it will be going to court.
Okay. Now, you had said that something that I didn't know about was that they had actually threatened to take, like, to impound an elder's cell phone and their vehicle if you guys didn't cooperate? Is that...
I do believe so, yes.
Wow. That's...
Yeah, and I mean, we're not a violent community, and that's why, I mean, in the video it shows that. We cooperated.
Yeah,
even though
absolutely.
We didn't like what was going on.
Yeah. And this camp, I mean, this is not the first time you guys have done this camp, so it's not like this is new, correct? Like, this is an annual camp that you guys do as a community. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct. It's an annual camp. We have traditional teachings, for, like, our culture, our Métis culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a celebration.
Yeah.
Was this the first time you guys had smoked fish at the camp?
Yes, it is.
Mm. Wow. And then from what I understand, too, like the day before this happened, so I guess it would be the Thursday, the minister from the Alberta government was actually there, Richard Feehan, walking through the camp.
Yes, and he would have seen the fish on the rack smoking already.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm hearing he's going to be out here in Conklin tomorrow, and there might be some fish given out.
Oh, really?
Let's cross our fingers. Yeah.
When was this? Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, Friday. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we're having a meeting, and I believe he is coming back to our community to personally apologize.
Oh, interesting.
Well, maybe you will get your fish back.
Yeah, maybe we will get our fish back.
If I could ask, is this meeting open to the public? If, you know, other members, like, so is it open to everybody if they wanted to come by?
I would think so. Our community is a very open community. We're very inviting people. I mean, we've had people that weren't a part of our community that were at the CAP. So, I mean, we welcome people with open arms. And as soon as they came in, all the women offered food. And, yeah, so.
Wow. Well, it's really, it's quite a shame. I mean, so as a community, if you guys are looking at, like, next year's event, what do you think are some of the steps you guys are going to take next year to avoid this kind of thing? Or is there a way to avoid it, do you think?
I would think there would be a way to avoid it, probably having the correct documents. But then again, like, we're Métis people. We were practicing our culture. I don't believe we did anything wrong. And I think we can, I mean, we can all learn from this mistake and try to do the right thing next year.
Yeah.
Whether or not we have to get licensed to practice our culture, which we might.
Which seems silly when you say it that way.
Yeah, it is. It's quite silly.
So then how
big of a... Oh, go ahead, Darcy.
No, you go ahead, Jay.
Well, I was just wondering, so typically how many people come out to your camp?
Probably around like 30 to 40 people at a time. Like, people come and go. You're free to come and go. And there was canvas tent set up if you like to stay the night. Some of my kids stayed out that night in the canvas tents. They have wood stoves in them to keep them warm at night. And then we have a cook on site during the day, so right from morning till night, cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they're usually traditional meals.
Wow. And you guys do this, and is it a week-long camp that you guys do every year, or?
It's usually the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's about 3 days.
So what kind of repercussions are, I guess, what kind of effects has this had kind of on, you know, you said that the kind of the morale in the camp went down immediately, which obviously that would happen. What kind of morale is in the community now? Like, how are the children reacting? Is there a lot of, you know, do they have, I guess, a lot of hard questions to ask, or like how are people feeling now with the apology and things like that? How are people feeling?
I know there was an apology made, but it was mostly made, I mean, for the community, it was made in the media. It wasn't something that was said out loud to our community. Most community members had to hear about the apology in the media. So, I mean, you still don't really feel good about it when it's put out that way.
Wow.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you'd think so that would warrant a phone call or something.
Yeah, it would have been nice if somebody would have came out and said the province and the minister had issued an apology. And I know, I think it would have been nice if we would have sat down and discussed it as a community to see how we all felt about it. Because I didn't feel good about it even after the apology came, and the ticket still stands. So, and we never got any fish back, so... I mean, you still don't, there's still some hard feelings there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So on a personal note, what you said your kids were there. What was their takeaway from that interaction with the Fish and Wildlife Department?
Well, my daughter, Kylie, she's First Nation, and she has status, and she had her status card on her, and she's actually under the age, she's 14. And she had went up to the Fish and Wildlife officer and showed her status card and wanted them she wanted them to return the fish to her. That's how she felt, like that was going to be good enough. But apparently it wasn't good enough. They said they need more documentation is what they told her. So I don't know. They're just
so much paperwork for some, like, fish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's the point of having your status card and even a Métis card if it means nothing when you're practice in your culture.
Yeah. Well, now, has your community, I guess, been given any support either verbally or with phone calls or whatever from outside of the community, from different places that maybe you didn't expect? Have you experienced anything like that?
We've been having overwhelming support through the video. I've been getting them through messages. It's been great support. I mean, not all of it has been great, but a majority of it has been. So, I mean, it's brought a lot of awareness, and I've gotten a lot of messages from people that had culture camps or are going to be having culture camps and wondering if something like this happens at their camp, what kind of documentation will they need and to be prepared so that they don't run into the same problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I know our community leaders are, they're working on it very hard, and I'm pretty sure it's going to go to court, and I hope that they fight a little bit harder. They do fight hard for our Métis rights and challenge the court. I would like to see that happen, but it might be wishful thinking.
Have you had any contact? I mean, you might not know, but have you had any contact from the Métis Nation of Alberta and their legal department?
I'm sure that our Métis board members and leaders are probably discussing that with them privately. That I can't really guarantee, or that's me speculating on it, but I would hope that they are.
Well, hopefully when the minister comes out, maybe that ticket will go disappear.
Yes, for sure. Well, I'll be there tomorrow, and I'll probably try to record it if I'm allowed to, maybe even live stream it.
Well, that would be super. We'd love to be able to see that firsthand, since we won't be able to make it up there.
Yes, for sure. I'll see what I can do.
Well, actually, I think I will be there tomorrow if it's at 10, because I'm currently in Fort McMurray, and I'm going to be heading back to Calgary tomorrow. So I think I'll just swing through Conklin and stop by.
Okay, great. Well, looking forward to seeing you, Darcy. Is it Darcy?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, great.
So it'll be interesting to see, I guess, what he has to say. And obviously he'll apologize, but it'll be interesting to see what he has to say moving forward as to how they're going to make, these changes that he talked about in his public apology, where he said, you know, they're going to work hard to make sure this doesn't happen again. I'll be curious to see what he has to say.
Yes, for sure. Me too. I'd like to see where this is going to go. I hope there's some good changes for our Métis people.
Well, and that's if there is a positive out of this, I think the one thing was it could be a catalyst for actually, pushing change through government policies and things like that. Just because of the absolute outcry from the public that I saw on social media. So, I mean, you never know. I mean, it is a very negative thing that happened, but at the same time, if government policies get changed and we actually see some give on the whole, traditions and traditional gatherings, perhaps it is a positive thing for not just your community, but for the entire province even.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, sadly, it's usually through these kinds of confrontations that we're able to bring this discussion forward. And there's so much oversight, like licensing back, which should be a traditional Métis harvesting right. You have to have the proper paperwork. These kinds of things need to be addressed.
Yes, I agree.
Well, that's great. I'm really looking forward to meeting you tomorrow and hopefully just listening to what Richard Feehan has to say and meeting others in the community tomorrow. So I'm very excited about that.
Awesome. Excited to meet you, too.
Well, that's good. I think we really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us a little bit of firsthand information about what actually went down. And it was really great of you to be able to be on your toes and post that video live so that we could all kind of see what was going on up there.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, and yeah, thanks for posing. Like I always say to people, you know, you got to record these interactions, and I'm just grateful that you did, because you know, the rest of us on social media got to see what's going on out there, and so thank you, and I'm looking forward to meeting you tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to meeting you too. Thank you for having me on the show. Try to kill us, but my
village too strong. Hey guys, so it's Friday night, and we recorded a conversation there on Thursday night with Roxanne from Conklin. And, you know, we ended the conversation by me saying that I was going to head down there for the meetings, and because I was in Fort McMurray at the time. And I did, and I wanted to kind of give you guys a heads up. So we're kind of doing the conversation with Roxanne Thursday night, and then today is an update about how those meetings went. The meetings were interesting. I found that there was a lot of interesting things said, and I'll start with the minister, Richard Feehan. He did show up with two boxes of fish, as a gesture of goodwill between him and the community. But you know, one of the things that I did notice is I do think, and you know, I know they're politicians, and I know you can't trust them, but I did feel like the minister's comments and his overall demeanor really showed that he actually did care. He seemed very genuine in his apology. And I will say that he did make a lot of comments, and a lot of conversation was had. I think he was there for a little over an hour. And he talked about how, you know, by this time next year, he wants to have a harvesters program in place. Obviously, they're starting with the Métis Nation of Alberta because that's the only game in town, according to them. And so that's something that they're working on right now. And he implicitly said that he wants that so that next year at camp, they don't have to worry about this. They don't have to deal with this, which is good news on that front. I think that's a very positive thing. And I think it's great that he's giving a timeline on this. And so that's something I think we can all look forward to. The other positive thing that he did mention is that he recognizes that not all Métis are members of the Métis Nation of Alberta, and that they need to gather people together to form some sort of committee to figure out how to provide those same access to harvesting rights in all areas of the province, to all Métis in the province. And he even specifically mentioned the fact that, you know, down in southern Alberta, there's technically no Pauli designated communities, like historic Métis communities. So it's not fair that just because you move down to Calgary or you move down to southern Alberta for, say, work or something else, that you don't have your harvesting rights. So I think that was a very positive thing that I took away from, you know, the Alberta government's viewpoint in the fact that they actually recognize there's other Métis than the MNA members. And I will say that that got a little bit of a angry reaction from the local Métis Nation of Alberta representative. But it is what it is, and he said it many times. And he even specifically said that, you know, just because you're not a member of the Métis Nation of Alberta doesn't mean that you don't have Section 35 constitutional rights. And I think for a minister to say that is just absolutely phenomenal. To me, it showed that he actually knows a little bit about this. And while I didn't like some of the verbiage he used when it came to Pauli, I think we can take some positives out of this. And hopefully, you know, we can see some movement forward. There was a lot of comments and things said by the people in the meeting from the community of Conklin. And I won't repeat their stories because a lot of them told stories. And I don't think it's right for me to repeat them secondhand when it's not my story to tell. And so I want you guys to stay tuned to the show, because we're going to try to bring some of those voices to the show over the next few weeks, to let you guys hear these stories, you know, on your own and on the show and firsthand. And there were some very interesting stories. There were some sad stories. A lot of anger towards this situation and the situation in general towards Métis people. And so, yeah. But it was very interesting. Some of the comments were eye-opening, to say the least. And then I did have some private conversations after the event, or the meeting, I guess. And those were even more, you know, eye-opening. And there's a bigger story in Conklin than just this fish. And that's a story that we're going to try to bring to you as the weeks progress here. We're going to try to bring those people to the table. We're going to try to bring their voices to the table because there is a bigger story here. And it's, you know, it's honestly a story of why we started the Métis Society. Métis Society is founded on the principle that we want to strengthen our communities. We want our communities to be strong. And we want the communities to be the driving force behind any Métis organization, but specifically ours. This top-down pyramid scheme, board structure for nonprofits is not a system of governance. And it was made so evidently clear today that that is a non-functioning, completely useless style of governance. And, you know, there are people that are being extremely negatively affected by M&A policies and government policies that do nothing for people. They don't make the community stronger. They don't make people's lives better. And their voices are not getting heard. In fact, they're being quieted on purpose. And so we're going to ferret out these stories and we're going to bring them to light over the next couple of weeks, hopefully, and bring them to show, bring them to the podcast, and bring them to the YouTube channel. So stay tuned for those, because there's a big story here. There's our Métis brothers and sisters up there need to get their story out, and they need to get their voices heard, and they need to get the public to know about what's going on up there. And the politics and the bad policies need to come out and be ferreted out and brought to the light. So stay tuned for that. That's all I got for now. You know, and if you have any questions or whatever, you can send me questions at metipodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, metipodcast. So, you know, just stay tuned, though. And what you can do, though, is what I hope you do is I hope you get everybody you know that's Métis to listen to this episode. And I also hope that you get anybody you know to listen to the future episodes, at least for the next few weeks, till we can ferret out more of this story and bring some of these voices from Conklin to you guys. And give you firsthand knowledge of what some of the problems that they're facing up there and some of the issues that they're facing up there, being a traditional Métis community, who Richard Feehan had acknowledged as being a recognized traditional Métis community, and they're facing some severe problems because of bad policies, and that's all it is. It's bad policies. Bad policies and money that's not getting to the people that to do any good. So that's all I got for now. Stay tuned. And to the people of Conklin, if you're listening, to Roxanne for, you know, taking me to the meeting today, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to everybody that was there, the whole community that was there, that allowed me to record and allowed me to be there. Thank you for allowing me into your community, and thank you for putting up with me while I was there. And I really hope to get to know a lot of the people in that community a lot better over the next little while. But I felt really honored to be there, and I am so glad that I went there. It was absolutely eye opening, but it was also just great to see, you know, these people live in a traditional Métis life, and just met some great people. So thank you to them for that. And for now, the jig is up.
Long live the peak.
Hey, my late cooking came from Kawaka to Express. Real warrior woman probably popping boots there. It's poor man's if you wanna talk the language. 100 clicks north of Virginia's the rest. You still gotta be a chief to wear a headdress. So take your shit off before you ruin it for the rest. You better listen to your heart, there's too many heads. Watch what you say, man, there's way too many feds.